It's good to be home. I know you had the best of the best here while I was gone, and I had people say, you should stay away a couple more weeks. So after I get done just doing the preliminaries, I'm going to walk off. Aaron's going to come back on. Nah, I'm just joking. But didn't they all do a fabulous, fabulous job? I want to say thank you to Chris Buzniak, who did Thursday. And I'd listen to all the messages, and you can too at our website at thecitychurch.com. Chris did incredible. Aaron did incredible. Kathy did amazing. And Ryan last Sunday did just absolutely phenomenal. And I'm just so proud of all them and proud of you and thankful that Patty and I took a little early getaway to celebrate our 40th. And I can't believe it, even when I still say it now, that she has been married and stuck by my side for 40 years. I mean, that is amazing, isn't it? And I'll be telling you little stories, little funny things that happened along the way on this trip. We just had an incredible time away. One of the stories, and I told it in the earlier service, I just got to tell it now. So part of our trip was when we went away, we went to San Francisco because she's always liked that city. And we bought this tour on a bus. You get on and get off. You go through the city and go around. So we went through, and then we said, when we get on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge, we'll get off, we'll do a little fun stuff, and then we'll get back on. Well, when we got off, my wife, somewhere between the time we got on and we got off, she lost the tickets, and you got to have the tickets to get back on. So there we were on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. And I said, well, let's just walk back across. It was sprinkling a little bit. We've walked across the Brooklyn Bridge. We've had it's just an incredible experience. And so we started walking. We get about a quarter way across, and it begins to rain. And I'm not talking rain. I'm telling you, it began to pour. We're halfway across, and I mean it's pouring. We have a couple jackets on that are pretty good, but, you know, my pants are wet, my feet are soaked. But I looked over at her in the middle of the rain, the wind's blowing up there. I said, honey, is there anywhere you'd rather be right now? She looked back at me. You know what she said? No, I'd rather be right here with you. And I said, okay, let's keep on walking then, because we're not going to stay here. But we had a great time away, and thank you for all your kindness. And again, for everybody that did so great while we were gone, just a wonderful time. This Thursday night, our own Dan Huntington is going to be speaking. And if you've not heard Dan before, you need to be here Thursday night, because this young man, Danny, stand up so everybody knows who you are. Would you do that? I mean, phenomenal, phenomenal. So he'll be sharing this Thursday, and then next Sunday we begin our Christmas series on peace. And I can't even fathom, you know, Garrett started singing a Christmas song this morning. I'm like, huh? It's Christmas time? The trees are up, and Susie Graham did such a beautiful job putting everything up in here. Isn't it gorgeous? She had some help, and thank you all for that. Thank you all that helped out Thanksgiving Day in the Generation Center. The amount of meals served was right at 300. Isn't that beautiful? That was a blessing. And I haven't seen it. I saw it online, but I haven't seen an actual newspaper. I heard that George Forsythe's picture and mine were on the front page. And I've had people tell me they've got them put up where they're throwing darts at them. Others are using them target practice for deer hunting, and George said he put his out in the barn, and he's just throwing stuff at it. So we had a great day on Thursday. Thank you all that served, all the great things that took place. Just an incredible time of the year. And I want to encourage you, keep an eye out on the bulletin. We haven't added anything extra, only on Christmas Eve. There will not be an 8:30 service because Christmas Eve lands on a Sunday. this year. So we will just have a 10 a.m. and then our noon at St. Anthony's, and then we're back here for Christmas Eve at nighttime, 6 p.m., which they're always amazing here, 6 p.m. at the City Church, and then 8 o'clock at St. Anthony. So it's a beautiful time of the year, and I just want to encourage you in every way to enjoy, take it in. And, you know, we celebrate this time of the year, the time that Christ was born and came into the world. And I know, you know, many people, there's some that have a challenge with that because they say that's not the day that Christ was born. I'm sure of that, but I am sure of one thing. He was born. He did come into the world. And this is a time and a season where we can come together and we can celebrate that and we can enjoy that. Somebody asked me this week, and I just kind of felt like I needed to make this statement today. They said, how did you work with your kids concerning Santa Claus? And I just said, he just was no big deal to us. There was a Nicholas, a Saint Nick, who is referred in history, that did great things, and he kind of blends in with the same time of the year and gets some of the credit. I never lied to my kids, and, you know, but I never told them either, hey, that didn't come from Santa, that came from your daddy. Now, buck up here, boy. Just kind of let things be. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. You don't have to take any of the joy out of the house. Be great parents. Love your children. Teach them the ways of God. Read them story from the Bible, what pertains to the birth of Christ. Believe me, they'll see it in your life and they'll follow after God. And as you follow Christ, so they'll follow you and they'll follow the Lord themselves. So that, I felt like saying that today. I'm not one of those that bash it and I'm not against it. Anything that I feel that can bring some joy into somebody's life, I'm all for it. Okay? Look at your neighbor and just tell them, Merry Christmas. Let's pray together this morning. God, I just want to say thank you for your kindness and your love to each one. I pray that today you'll be honored, you'll be greatly glorified in everything that is said and everything that is done here. And I pray, Lord, that you would lift up somebody's heart here that may be hurting, somebody that's facing a challenge of some sort today, somebody that's concerned with their place and their position in life, what's going to happen, maybe a disappointment that is completely rendering them incapable of enjoying or experiencing any joy in their life. I pray that, Lord, that this moment, this time, as we begin this season, that, Lord, that you will comfort them, you'll bring great peace, you'll bring great life, and bring great love to everyone. And, Lord, for that, I give you thanks. I thank you for every family, every mom, every dad, every grandma, every grandpa, every aunt, uncle, son, daughter. Lord, may your hand be upon them in a great way, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. If you have your Bible, I'm going to get there in just a few minutes, and if you want to look at it, it's in Ephesians chapter 4, but I want to talk to you about something that happened to me while I was gone, and I really felt the Lord in it, and I felt really challenged to share it. It's a little different for me to share something along these lines, but this happened to me and it startled me so. And as I asked the Lord about it, and I just prayed that God would help me to understand, and I asked him, Lord, is this for me? And I felt that part of it, there are some things that I need to learn from it. But I felt greater that we all need to learn something. And as we come together here in the last Sunday of November and the beginning of next week is the beginning of December, Christmas season is upon us. We're embarking on another new year in just a little over a month. We'll be going into 2018. We can carry some things with us that we need to let go of, or we can embrace some things that we need to take with us. And I had this dream that was shocking to me. And I know things when I have a dream, things that are from the Lord, because when I have one that just stays with me and I can remember intimate details, I know that the Lord has done that to me for a reason, for a purpose, because there's some truth in the middle of it that he wants to share. And this dream was really strange. And I woke up in the middle of the night while we were gone. I couldn't go back to sleep, and I didn't feel like maybe even the Lord wanted me to go back to sleep. I was on top of a building, a flat building. It was a high building, maybe been 40, 50 stories in the air. And I was walking on the roof, and I was looking over a city. I don't know where I was. I don't know who the people were in it. But as I was walking, it was about dusk at night, and I looked towards the edge of the building, and I saw something. And as I began to walk over towards the edge of the building, I saw a baby that was reaching and leaning way over the edge of the building, almost ready to fall over the side of the building. I was startled. I was shocked. I got down on my knees, and I crawled over, and I grabbed the baby, and I pulled the baby to me and held the baby, and I was terrified. And as I got up and I began to look around, I saw some people over at the side, and I walked over, and presumably the mom I thought was there, which was. And as I handed her the baby back, and I said, "Do you know where your child was?" And as I explained to her what was happening, her response was, "It's no big deal. It's just not a big deal." And she had a lack of attention and a lack of emotion. There wasn't anything that was getting her attention. And with that, I woke up and I was startled, and I was literally shaking from that. And I sensed that God was showing me something to communicate. This isn't to parents. Just isn't about parents with small children, but was what I felt the Lord showing me, that it was a snapshot of our culture today, of the things that we have heard and that we see on a regular basis that create us to dilute who we are as a society. You know, as you look on at the news, and we've watched it the last few weeks, the things that have been unfolding from football stars to movie stars to producers to news people. And I think about years ago when our society was talking about what's called the sexual revolution has now evolved into what God says was an issue and a problem way long ago when the earth was formed. And now our society is, as we continually hear things and we get startled for a minute, but then we just go on, and for some, nothing changes. And we think, well, that's okay, and, you know, it's no big deal, and we hear this and we hear that. And in our own lives, God is wanting us to rise up and to be something and to be what He has called and created us to be. But sometimes we allow our culture and the society that we live in and that we are exposed to at 24/7 just dilute who we are, and we come across this mindset and we embrace this lifestyle where that's no big deal, whatever. And the reality of it is a big deal. And your life is important. And the decisions and the processes that you engage in are life-changing and life-altering, and that you need to be attentive, and you and I need to give attention to things that are important. And you can't walk over the details on a regular basis and just say, it's just no big deal. It is a big deal. It is something, and you and I are called, and we have been designed to be something in particular that God Himself has created us to be. And I know that we live in this life where we engage and we have greater capacities and we're able to handle more, and And through all that, we sometimes lose the significance of what God has called us in particular to be. Because every one of you have got a particular thumbprint, a particular fingerprint, and you're different. And because you're different, doesn't make you weird. Well, some are weird, but not all. I'm weird. But you are called and you are appointed and you are anointed to be the person that only you can be. You are not born to be a copy. You are born individually to make a difference, and you are a big deal. You're a big deal to God. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God beforehand prepared in advance for us to be. That God, before you were ever released on the face of the earth, has this plan for your life and for mine to accomplish something that only you could do. Nobody else can do what you can do. Listen to that. A lot of people say, oh, anybody could do that. No, not everybody can do it the way you can do it. Nobody can do it the way you can. Nobody can run that sound up there like Jeff Tosher can. Nobody can do that. Nobody can greet people in the back like a myriad of people are doing on a regular basis and just show the love and the compassion of God. Nobody can do that. Nobody can play drums like Ben can. Nobody can do that. Other people play, but nobody. I can tell my eyes, I could have tape over my face, and I know when he's on that drum. I know when Debbie's on the piano. I know when Rufus, I know when every one of the musicians are in their place, because nobody can do what they can do. Nobody. Somebody said to me, why, I don't see you at Chris's Bible study on Wednesday night. That's because if I went in there, somebody would want me to do it, and nobody can do it like Chris can do it. Nobody can teach Tuesday morning like Phil Gardner, and Monday night like Kathy can do it, and Sunday morning like Brad can next door. Nobody can do it because that is what God has called them to do. And many of you are called to do even more than what maybe you're doing now, and you haven't really stepped into what he has called you to do. But you've been created before the earth was ever even formed. You have been created to do something great. And you are a big deal to God. I love this quote by Warren Wiersbe. He says, our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable, to do what seems unreasonable, and to expect what seems impossible. And I'm telling you, if you don't step into one of these roles at some point, not only in your life, but in your week, you're missing the plan that God has for you. And I, you know, when I think about it, then people say, well, so that's for somebody else. Somebody else can do that. But all along, God is calling you and pulling and tugging on your heart to do that. It is a big deal because you are not called by God just to blend in and to go into the flow and just to be kind of hit out where everybody else can't see you. And you know, you're just part of the throng. God has called you to stand up and to stand out and to do something enormous in the life that he has entrusted with you. And so what do? I really felt like the first thing, we must have some self-reflection, some self-introspection into our life to see what it is and to discover what we are doing with our lives. And is there something missing that we should be doing? What are we letting go? What are we ignoring? What is it in our lives that he has called and created us to do that we're just, not now. I'll do it some other time. And I wanted to come in on this Sunday before we head into the latter part of this year to end out 2017 and to go into 2018. And I wanted to just lay this on you today for you to be thinking about it and for you to be considering who you are and what God has called you to do. That you are a big deal. And to move out of that crowd that says, it's just no big deal. And to begin with some self-reflection. You know, you've got to come to yourself. The prodigal in Luke chapter 15, 17, he had to come to himself. Nobody else could do it for him. He had to look within. He had to have a moment with God and recognize what it is. What can I do? What am I clinging to that I need to let go? And what have I let go that I need to pick back up again? Maybe some of you are here today and you're purposely, you've clung on to something that is completely neutralizing your ability to be something greater than you've ever thought you could be. I'm looking at some champions in here today. I'm looking at people that maybe at one point in their life somebody told them, you'd never amount to anything. You'll never do anything. You can't be anything. And God says, that's not true. Let God be true, the Bible says, and every man a liar. I'm looking at people today that have a touch and a call of God on their life. You have divine divinity flowing through your veins. You have the bloodstream and the DNA of our Father in heaven moving through your life. And you are called and created to be something beyond anything you ever thought you could be. Young, old, middle-aged, white, black, blonde hair, red hair, dark hair, no hair. You've been called by God to do something incredible in your life. You know, and I thought of this, you may be part of the no big deal group if you think this way. If you think, number one, you're just so easily satisfied, nothing moves you. Nothing pulls on your heart. You could be in the midst of something incredible and you just say, that's, you know, oh, well, it's, you know, it's no big deal. What's the big deal? You never feel a pull from God's Holy Spirit in your life anymore. He could be doing something good. Somebody could be weeping next to you and you're just there like, what's the big deal? You never sense the Holy Spirit pulling on you. And if you're part of that big, no big deal group, you may be in trouble. You may be one of the people that you're just quick to make an excuse with everything. You're quick to offer all kinds of reasons why you can't do this, why you can't be that, why you can't go here, you can't do that. Challenges become obstacles, and obstacles become barriers, and barriers become excuses. And it's just easy to hide behind every excuse instead of being the person that you have been called and created to be. You may be part of the no big deal club if you're one of those people that say, well, I just don't have any time. Whoa, I'm busy. How are you doing today? Oh, busy, busy. Woo, I'm busy. How's things going? Oh, man, so busy. And there is a veneer of activity and busyness, but there's nothing strategic about your activity when it pertains to the kingdom of God. And you spend hours and hours doing things that you enjoy, but you never spend any time doing things that make a difference. Then you spend things the way you always have and that you've always been. You just continue to do it. You may be part of the no big deal club if you're no longer teachable. Hear this now. You resist being pushed or challenged. In fact, you denounce anybody pushing you or challenging you, and you come away with some superior type of theology that says, well, you know, things like, well, the Lord has not called me to do that, or I don't feel led to do that. I used to have a pastor friend. He used to walk around with a literal piece of lead in his pocket because he'd ask people to do things. And there was, you know, years ago people would say, well, I just don't feel led to do that. So he'd pull out his pocket, pull the cap off. He'd say, go ahead and feel my lead. It's funnier then than it is now. But but this may be pertaining to you, to the no big deal group, until an addiction takes a life close to you. Or a behavior creates a devastating outcome in your situation and or in your life. Or the lack of attention towards something or someone creates a loss that is forever painful. Are you listening to me right now? And tragically, this happens to many people. And I want to encourage you as you prepare and I prepare to enter into the season, to enter in with an open heart. Because in over a month, just a little over a month, we enter into another new year. And I want to walk into it with new opportunities, with new blessings, with new adventures, with a bigger vision, with a greater purpose. I want to touch more people. I want to help more people. I want to believe God to reach out further than I've ever done before. Amen. Come on. And you can, if you're in that, If you're in that, if you're one of those people that just live on doing the minimums, God has called you and I to be a people that are a and then some kind of person. Listen to this out of Ephesians 4, verse 17. Paul says this. He said, I say, and I testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. That means void of purpose or anything appropriate. Just walking around, just existing. I refuse to be just somebody that exists, that gets up every day and just, okay, it's, you know, people that say, oh, Monday's coming. Oh, I hate Monday. Oh, my God. I love Mondays. I love Tuesdays. I love Wednesdays. I love, the Wednesday is not a hump day. I don't know, that's just kind of weird to me. I love Thursdays. I love Fridays because Sunday's coming. I love Saturday. I love Sunday. I love every day because God has given us the ability to live every single day. And he says, don't walk, don't live with futility of mind. He goes on to say, he said, they're darkened in their understanding. They've been alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart, that they have become calloused. No big deal. And have given themselves up to sensuality, to greed, and to practice every kind of impurity. But he goes on to say, he says, that's not the way you learned about Christ. But then he goes on to say, he says, assuming you have heard about him and were taught the truth that is in Jesus, because if you hear about him and you've been taught about him, you can't get away from him. He'll want to live inside of you, and you'll want him to live inside of you. He goes on in verse 22. He says, so put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and it's corrupt through its deceitful desires. You know, I said this in the first service. We live on a farm. I've got two pairs of bib overhauls. I've got one pair. It's old. They've got rips all over them. They're just dirty. And my wife, she hardly will wash them. She washed them, they'll fall apart. And then I got hanging up near him, I got a brand new pair. And every time I go out, I want to put those old ones on. And she'll be there, honey, please don't wear those. I go, why? She goes, well, first of all, you know, your rear shows through them. It's probably not a good thing for the pastor to go around with, you know, that happening. I go, okay, what else? Because I'm just on the farm. She said, put these on. And I have this propensity to want to go back and put on something old because it reminds me of some good things and good times and good experiences that I had before. But that's not who I am anymore. I got to put on the new. I got to lay on something brand new because God's got something better for me. He's got something brand new. He's got a new experience. He's got a new way for me to live. He says, get rid of the old and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, created in the likeness and the righteousness and holiness of God. And it all begins in the way we think. And the Apostle Paul says this again in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by how our mind thinks, the renewing of our mind. And John the Evangelist, right, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, don't love the world or even the things in the world. And what's he saying? Not to hate our country, but he's talking about that society, that corrupt thinking, that baser way of life. He says, don't love it. He said, if anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world, and the world is passing away. And if you put all your attention into that, let me tell you, my friends, it's going to be gone. It's going to leave you. And the Apostle Paul, again, he encourages us in Colossians chapter 3. He says to put on what he has created for you. He's encouraging us to put it on. And when we read this, I want to encourage you, what is it that I need in my life that I need to put on today? He's going to tell us here in Colossians 3 and verse 12. He says, put on then. I love how Paul, he just talks about changing your garments. Get rid of the old and put on the new. He says, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. He says, number one, put on a compassionate heart. Do you need that today? Is your heart just hardened? Are you kind of nasty? Are you miserable when it comes to this time of the year? Are you miserable? Said this. Yeah, somebody said. Put on compassion. Ask the Lord today, what is it that you need to put on? And if you say yes to this, put it on. Kindness? Are you one of these grump on a bump? You're just mean-spirited? If somebody butts in front of you in line, you're going to... You need to put on kindness. And you know what, God? He's going to test you to the max on that. You put that on, it's just not going to come easy to you. He's going to move that line way over here to work something great inside of you. Amen. Come on, say amen to me this morning. He says, put on, amen, clap your hands if you're going to do it. He says, put on humility. Man, some of us need a dose of humility, don't we? Not to be so full of yourself where, you know, you got to be right all the time. You got to know it all. It's got to be my way or else. He says, put on meekness. Not weakness. Meekness is power under control. That's good. And this is the one that everybody just loves. Everybody just loves to talk about this. Put on patience. How do you get patience? When you go through fire, when people press your buttons, when everything that you're hoping for goes in the opposite way, God says to the Apostle Paul, put on patience. How do you do it? He says it in the next few words. Bear with one another. Bear. He didn't say get bear, he said bear with them. Bear with one another. Some of you are short. You're short with your temper. You're short with your patience. You're short with your understanding. If it's not your way, it's no way. And God says you need to put on the ability to bear with other people. Bear with them. And then he goes on to say, here it is. It just keeps on getting more beautiful as I talk. You're to put these on. And if you're missing one of these, when I read this and I say, boy, that's not me, you need to put it on. Don't go for that old outfit that fits and feels good. Oh, it's just the way I am. If they don't like me the way I am, then they're going to have to like somebody else. Get off of yourself. Put on something brand new. He says, if somebody has a complaint against another, if you got a beef with somebody, he goes on, he says, forgive. Forgive each other. What is it with Christians that have been getting so good at carrying offenses against other people and they justify it by coming up with some spiritual garbage to justify they did this to me and, you know, I know God's going to deal with them. You want to hear how God deals with imperfect people? He dies for them. He forgives them. He sheds his blood for them. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He says, you were all once a people, but now you're the people of God. If you're waiting, amen. If you're waiting, well, God is going to get them. Oh, my goodness, I hope he gets me. Because when he gets me, he blesses me. He lifts me up. He encourages me. He fills me with joy. He blesses my life. He brings favor on me that I don't even deserve or never thought I could have. And if you got a complaint against somebody else, forgive them. How? As the Lord forgave you, sir, ma'am. You remember when you were in your lowest place in life? You know what the Bible says? That while we were still steeped in our trespasses and in our sin, that Jesus Christ came and he forgave us. Forgive like that. And then he goes on again. He says, the Lord has forgiven, as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive that same way. That same way. And above all these things, he goes on to say, and put on love. There it is again. Put it on. Quit going over to the old way of living. Leave them old coveralls behind and slip on that brand new. Whew, I wonder if some people say, well, I like it when I see you in your coveralls. You'd like me for about 1 minute, and then you'd take a good whiff of them, and you'd see some things that you hoped you'd never see, and then you'd say, I wish the preacher would put his suit back on. He said, above all this, put on love, because it brings everything together in perfect harmony. We can love one another, and then because of you, when you put on all this, this is what makes Christmas what it is. This is what brings the peace of God into your life. He says, and then let the peace of Christ, it'll rule your heart. You'll have joy unspeakable. You don't have to worry about what you have or what you don't have. Because when you put on these things, my brothers and my sisters, you got it all. You caught the peace of God. Amen. Come on. And you were called. And he says, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, teaching, admonishing one another in wisdom and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God, to the Father through Him. And I'm telling you, when you live like that, when you put those things on, your life will be better. Your family will be better. Your future will be better. Your work will be better. Your school will be better. Your friends will be better. Your spouse will be better. Your children will be better. Your friends will be better. Your church will be better. Your pastor will be better. Your business acquaintances will be better. You will live a better life when you put these things on. Come on, Merry Christmas to you. He saved you. He's delivered you. He's set you apart. He's given you a new life. He's given you hope unspeakable. He's going to help you do what you thought you never could do. You are a big deal. You are important to God. You are an important individual here. You don't just come to church. You are the church of the living God. You are the people of God. Come on, one more big clap for the Lord this morning. Come on. Come on, give the Lord a good praise in His house today. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Close your eyes. Bow your head. I felt this morning as I was standing here during worship, I just began to feel some of the needs that were going on in the house. Some of you, you're having struggles in your relationships, in your home, husbands and wives. I hope that's Jesus calling. Some of you, husbands and wives, you're struggling. You're going through some difficulties. You need to read that verse of Scripture over and over and over. You need to put on some things. Instead of you expecting your spouse to change, you change. You begin. You begin to be the one that takes that turn. For some of you, it's your children. You've been wondering, what are you going to do? How are you going to deal with this? How are you going to face this? And if you're just, if you're one of these who asks, it's no big deal, you know, they'll get out of it, they'll get through it or whatever. No, you better come to terms with some things today. Some of you, you're called by God to begin to pray and fast because that's the only way it's going to change. And I know this, for some of you, this may be right up into your business today, but this is important to God and to you and to your home and to your family. Hallelujah. So God, I pray today for my friends. Thank you, Jesus. If you've never given your heart to Christ, your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed, give Him your life today. Begin right now. Just say, God, come into my heart. Come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord. I ask you to be my Savior. Ask Him right now. He'll come in right where you're at. Let him be that to you right now. Let him be first. If you're here today and you're struggling with any of these areas in your life, you heard me say them and you, yeah, that's me. I need that. Ask him right now. Put that on. Put it on. Just reach out by faith. Say, God, I need your help with this. Some of you, you're in the midst of your life. You're walking down a path that's unhealthy for who you are as an individual. The Lord wants to help you with that. I want to help you. If you want to see me or you want to meet or you want to call, I'd love to meet with you. I want to help you. Let's not end out this year. Let's not go through this season just bankrupt. Let's enter into it with joy, with hope, with God's hand upon our lives, with favor in our lives. Praise your name, God. Let him minister. Let God minister to you right now. Let him touch your life. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh, move in a mighty way on every single person. Prayer people, just come on down, stand at the altar with me. I'm going to close. Father, I just want to say thank you today for your love and your grace that you've extended to every single person here. I pray your hand upon every life. I pray for encouragement to be each and every individual's portion today, that your goodness will shine upon them, and Lord, that you'll give each one of us the strength to put on what you have called for us to wear and to help us to rid ourselves of the things that would hold us back and to keep us from doing what you have called us to be. I thank you for it. I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. I love you today so much. I thank God for you. If you need prayer for anything, these folks here, they love you. They pray for you. Go in His grace. I love you. Make sure you say hi to somebody on your way out. Hug somebody. Wish them a great Christmas this year, okay? God bless you so much.